Talking girls, you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss MP.
All right, Lady Balls, before we dive into the episode, I have to tell you guys about a product that I've been using every day. I started taking AG1 because I was always forgetting to take my vitamins and pills, and it was getting expensive buying them all just to throw them out once they were expired. But I wanted to strengthen and support my immune system and have more energy. And that's where AG1 came in. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, and probiotic to help you start your day off right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your immune system, your energy, recovery, and your focus. AKA, all the things that are important for athletes. Plus, bonus is actually affordable and cheaper than buying all those supplements. Not to mention, it tastes good. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/soccergrl. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/soccergrl to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Hi.
Hi.
Whoa, cool setup.
You are totally showing us up right now. I have an unmade bed. This is ridiculous.
Are those real boxes?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
So cool. I love that.
Yeah, my little setup I'm very proud of.
Are you a sneakerhead or?
Yeah, I don't think I've worn any on this wall, but I just love getting new sneakers.
I love it. How many pairs of sneakers do you have that you wear?
That I actually wear probably like 10.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome. How are you? So are you in Houston right now?
Yeah, I just got back yesterday. Nice. So I'm back in Houston.
What do you think makes this team special?
I think the resilience we've had with everything going on, I think that we've been able to come together as a team and get to where we are today.
Resilience. I like it. I agree.
Have you noticed a big change in attendance over the years? Because I feel like as someone who attends games, I feel the difference so much. But then there's some people that play in their games and they say when they're on the field, like they just like black out, like they don't realize anything around them. But are you aware of that as you're playing? Like how many people are showing up and the energy in the stadium?
I think so. Yeah. I think either when we're home or away, it's really awesome to like, even if you're getting it, if we're away and the other team has their home crowd, it's like really cool. Cause I guess it's a motivation both ways. When we're home, it's a motivation from our fans. And then when we're away, it's a motivation to beat them. But I think, I mean, I was only here in 2019 with Chicago. But the difference from that year and this year is I think I've noticed a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. You've been on a few teams. Do you feel like you've like learned more and grown as a player playing at different clubs, playing on different teams?
Yeah, I think each club has their own kind of philosophy, their way of playing and thinking. And I've met a lot of awesome players that have taught me a lot. So, I mean, I think I've been on 4 different teams in the last 4 years, so it's been really hard, but, yeah, I'm really happy that I've been able to learn from the coaches, from the staff, and from my teammates.
We're talking about a lot of the positives of being on different teams, but you also mentioned it was hard. What was the hardest part about transitioning to new teams? Because there's so many players listening that are thinking about switching to new teams too.
Yeah, I mean, definitely just moving cities. I've been in US and I've been in Mexico, so I think I've kind of gotten a little bit of both cultures and the difference of the style of play and just the living situations. So I think for me, that's been the hardest part. I think where being on the actual team, the players have taken me in pretty well. So that always helps. I mean, just knowing the players that are on the teams and knowing where you're going is really cool. That I think has made the transition easier from being in a different city.
Yeah, I love that. And for any teams listening, always be welcoming to the new players because they might be terrified. They don't know anyone And it makes their transition so much easier and the team mesh so much better when they welcome you in like that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's huge and something that I've always learned, to be really welcoming. You know, I think it's hard for any new player. You're always scared. You don't know what to expect. And it's always really nice when one teammate smiles at you or asks how you're doing. I think those little details are what matters.
And it's something so easy and simple. It's not like they have to invite you over every night for dinner. Oh, which would be nice too. But just asking, like, what are you doing, really does make a difference for someone, especially when they're newcomers, for sure.
Yeah, sure. I agree. It's huge.
So, and you transferred colleges, right?
I did that as well. Yeah.
That's a hard transition too. What was that decision process like?
I mean, it was very difficult. I'm from American Falls, Idaho. I grew up in American Falls, Idaho, which is a town of 4,500 people. So I didn't get recruited to any college but Idaho State University. Mm-hmm. And so obviously I'm going to accept that. I wanted to continue my soccer career. And then, I mean, it was really cool to just play at that competitive level. And then I try out for the Mexican national team. I make it. And that's when I'm kind of seen by other colleges. And I make the decision to leave Idaho State. And I talked to Jerry. I love the program at Santa Clara. But I think that was a huge difference from Idaho State University to Santa Clara. It was a huge transition, but I'm very grateful because I was able to learn a lot. And I think it's probably the scariest transition in my whole career, because I've never gone out of Idaho. So to be able to move from Idaho to California, to the Bay Area, it was very hard, but looking back, I'm so grateful I did it. And what I've learned, I think, has meant everything.
Yeah, it sounds like a scary move going from such a small town environment to do that. So it takes a lot of courage. And I feel like a lot of players listening probably have that feeling too, where it might feel uncomfortable, but getting out of your comfort zone is where you're going to grow as a player. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I've learned over the years. I think is the more I am in outside of my comfort zone, the more I grow. And I can only look back and see the growth I've had. And I think it's those moments that mean the most.
Absolutely. And you were young when you were first on the national team, right?
Yeah, I was 19 years old when I played my first World Cup. So the year I tried out for the Mexican national team, 3 months later, I was called into the senior squad and then going to a World Cup. So it was, the change happened within months. So it was huge.
Wow.
What was that feeling like at 19? Like, were you overwhelmed at any point, or were you just like so grateful and amped? Because I always try to, I think back, and like sometimes you're like, you're so young that you don't even process it enough to let it make you nervous, and it's more just excitement. But then it could also go both ways. So what were you really feeling like at that age?
I was scared. I mean, I was even questioning, like, should I be the one going? Because I was so new to everything, and girls that had been there for years, in the process for years. I mean, it's a World Cup. So the fact that they chose me, it was very hard for me to believe. I remember, like, 6 months before that, when I was still at Idaho State, I had gone to watch a friendly U.S. against Mexico. And, you know, I wasn't even on the radar. I was playing at Idaho State University as a freshman. Like, I had no idea that 6 months later I would be in one of those matches going to a World Cup. So, I just remembering now, I think about, like, at some point I didn't even want to go because I was so scared. But it's like, it's a World Cup. So I'm grateful I did it. But yeah, looking back, I remember being so scared, out of my comfort zone with people I didn't know, at the highest level of women's soccer. I mean, it was big, but I'm happy I was able to experience that.
Really appreciate your honesty too, because it's like hard to admit when you're like scared shitless in a moment like that, but to hear that coming from like such a composed professional now is like awesome. I think people need to hear that. Like even the pros you look up to at one point in time were like, didn't even want to step on the field because they were so nervous or so scared about something. So that's a feeling that I feel like everyone can relate to.
Yeah. How do you deal with nerves as a professional? Like, what do you do? I feel like a lot of players say they can channel it, which I wish I knew how in college.
No, it's very hard. I think when I came back into the NWSL this year, every single game for the beginning of the season, probably the first 10, I was so scared because to me, like, this is, in my opinion, the best league in the world, the most competitive league in the world. So every single game, you're going against players who have won World Cups, are Olympic champions. Like, you go against the best players in the world every week. So to me, sometimes it was like underestimating myself, like, can you do it? But I think you just got to think about the hard work you've done, everything you do to prepare yourself to be there every week, to perform every week. And sometimes it doesn't turn out the way you want it to. Sometimes you have bad games where afterwards you're just like, I could have done this, I could have done that. But I think that's, I mean, it's just soccer, and you have to learn how to deal with that and how to make your nerves become a positive thing and go into the game just believing in yourself and the hard work that you've done to prepare yourself to be there.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice. Did you growing up watch soccer?
Yeah, I remember since I was young. I mean, I grew up in Idaho, so there wasn't much to do there, but I lived out in a farm, and I remember my dad watching soccer every single weekend. He would watch the Mexican League, so I grew up having a favorite team. It was always men's soccer. I think I started watching women's soccer until I was like in high school, starting to know players and stuff. And but since I was young, I would watch men's soccer. My first player that I started liking was Ronaldinho, and then Cristiano Ronaldo. I think since he was at Man United, I followed him everywhere, and he's been a role model for me.
Did you like players that you found you could learn from, and like, did you like kind of work your style off of things that they would do, or like, was there a reason? Obviously, they were amazing players, but was there anything like specific about their style of play that you liked to watch?
Oh yeah, I think the way they move the ball, the way they touch the ball, it's almost like it's stuck to their foot. Like, I wanted to be like them so bad. I would watch YouTube videos, see how they kick free kicks, see their tricks. Like, I would want to learn every single detail from them. And I just think that they make soccer so much fun to watch. Like, I understand there's the tactical things, there's different things you have to do in a team, but I think something that's very special and that makes people want to keep watching you is having fun with the ball and doing all these cool tricks. And I think that's for me, that's the fun part about soccer.
That's the least fun part for me.
I know. I was gonna say, it sounds like you'd be the one that would win all the juggling like competitions, and yeah. Like, could definitely, you can do all the technical things that we wish we could.
Yeah, I would spend a lot of time on the ball as a kid, just juggling, hitting the wall, doing tricks. So yep, that's definitely me.
That's awesome. What do you feel like, how do you feel your game has grown since you started, or since you were playing in high school to now? Like, how has your game changed through the years?
I definitely think I've learned a lot. I mean, I grew up without club soccer, so I'm from Idaho. I never played club soccer. I would only play with boys. So I guess my first organized, like, actual practice was when I was 18 at Idaho State University. So for me, it was very difficult to like have a set practice, like, oh, we're doing a passing pattern or we're doing 1v1s. Like, to me, it was never that. So I think I've learned a lot of things tactically, a lot of things like how to play with a team, because I mean, growing up, it was very individualized because I was the only girl playing, because it was different. You know, in high school, my teammates hadn't, some of them hadn't ever touched a soccer ball before. So it was just kind of like different. So I think since I was 18, the last 8 years now, I've been able to learn so many things that comes with a team, to perform, tactically, how we line up against other teams, how we do certain things like set plays. It's been a lot of learning for me, but I think it's really cool because I've been able to see soccer different than how I grew up seeing it.
That's so interesting. I feel like you're the first person we've like talked to that has said that, because oftentimes it's a lot of pros who like never watched soccer or, you know, didn't do enough individually. So it's interesting that you watched it and you had a lot of individual play, but like, I'm sure even let's just like drills now that seem simple to you are probably difficult to like learn in the beginning, but.
Oh yeah. I mean, just like set drills are like to teach you something. I feel like it's different for me because I would watch it and learn it on TV or see how the players manage certain things. And I think now it's kind of like they teach you it. So it's a very different learning process that I've had than when I had growing up.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge like adaptation to have to make as a player. Like that's like learning one way in school and then being taught a totally different way to learn. Like that's very, very different. Did that unlock like a whole new type of motivation to be playing with other women who were at your level, especially if in high school it wasn't so much like that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, growing up, I knew that other girls were playing club soccer. Like I knew that was kind of the system in the US. But for me, I mean, my dream was always to become a professional soccer player. So I knew I had to do it maybe a different way than other people, than other girls my age. So I think my process of when I was growing up playing and trying to achieve my goal was really different. And I think I always had like a high standard for myself. And even though it wasn't like having a passing drill, I had to find a different way to do it by myself, or, you know, playing with the boys. I had to find a way to learn what I thought girls my age were learning. So I think when I got to the pros, there was some things that I was like, oh, you know, I can do this better than most of the girls. And there were some things that I wasn't as good at, but I think, I've been able to kind of work on those things now that I'm playing professionally.
What was the process like for you to try out for the national team? Like, did you just write in? Did you send like a tape, or did your like college reach out to them?
Yeah, no, it was actually a crazy story. I was still at Idaho State and we had a U-17 Mexican national team goalkeeper go visit our school, Idaho State. And I remember I was very excited for it. Like I was going to meet somebody that was living my dream. And there's actually a picture on my Instagram that is like when she went to visit, I asked her for a picture. And it was like, to me, it was huge. So she went and she watched us practice and she was like, hey dude, like, what are you doing? Like, why aren't you on the Mexican national team? And I'm like, well, I've never, like, nobody turns and looks at me. Like nobody knows about me. And, funny enough, like, I guess I was just luck. 2 days later after her visit, she sends an email to my coach at the time, Allison Gibson at Idaho State. And she goes, hey, there's tryouts in 2 days in LA. You need to be there. And I was like, okay. But like, I told my parents about it. They were not about to give me money. Like it was very hard because I'm from a lower income family. Like it was very difficult for them to just send me to LA to try out for the team. So I told them, even if they didn't support me much, I told them I was going to drive there. I had a 99 Honda Civic stick shift. And I was like, I'm driving 12 hours to go try out for the Mexican national team, whether you like it or not. So yeah, either you support me or you don't, but I'm doing it. I think this is a huge chance. And luckily enough, my sister took a couple days off of work and she drove me there in her newer car. I was able to stay with one of my teammates from Idaho State at her grandma's house. And I tried out, and I remember making it to like the last scrimmage of the day. And they just kind of said like, okay, well, thank you guys for coming. Kind of just left it there. And then a month later, I get the email that I'm called up to my first U20 camp. I didn't even have my Mexican passport at the time. So it was like a huge just...
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy, I think.
I love that story. You literally drove there.
Like,
and you stayed at your friend's grandma's. It just makes it so special. I love this. That was commitment. And I was so happy you took that chance, because look how many doors opened because you said yes to this one opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's literally been my whole life, just taking these chances. And I mean, you never know what's going to come out of it. So I think going to try out for the Mexican national team was huge for me. Transferring to Santa Clara was huge. Making the move from the NWSL to the Mexican League, which was a newer league, was huge. And I think if I hadn't taken those chances, I would not be as successful as I am right now.
I love it. And you're like such an example of like going all in, like not being like one foot in, one foot out, like, oh, maybe I'll try, maybe I won't. You committed hard, and I'm very freaking impressed with it and inspired by it. So I love that it, you know, ended up being worth the risks that you took to get those opportunities too. So just to keep on the, I guess, the path of your Mexican heritage, we love your pregame outfits that you do before games, and we love that you showcase your pride and your heritage. What does it mean for you to, you know, represent Mexico and the NWSL? Because we can tell it's very important to you too.
Yeah, I mean, ever since I was here in Chicago in 2019, I remember there not being a lot of Mexican representation. I think at the time it was only me and Katie Johnson, which we were both in Chicago. But I mean, I don't think there's really ever been a lot of Mexicans in this league with a lot of minutes. So for me, it was huge to represent my heritage and represent Mexico and the NWSL, because I don't think there's ever been that before. And yeah, I mean, now I'm very happy to see other players. Katie's still here in the league. Now we have Diana Ordóñez, Jimena Lopez. Like, we've been able to grow and have a lot more players, which I think it was always my goal to prove that the Mexican talent can compete in the highest levels. And even though we haven't been doing so well in the Mexican national team, I think there's a lot of players that can play at this high level and perform with the best athletes in the world. So something that I always told myself is that no matter what, I will always represent my heritage, and I will always try my best to represent Mexico the best I can in whatever team I am.
Well, we think you've been doing an excellent job at that, so keep it up. It's been awesome to see.
Thank you.
And I think last question we want to ask is, what do you want your legacy to be? Like, how do you want to be remembered?
I mean, I just want to make a big difference for women's soccer. I think, like I said, I grew up without club soccer. I made it to the pros in the U.S. without club soccer, which I think, I mean, I've never seen that done before. So I want to leave like a huge motivation for little girls who maybe don't have the resources. I want to make Mexico grow in women's soccer. I think there's been a lot of changes happening in our federation that, you know, it's a huge push forward that, luckily enough, I've had role models in the U.S. national team that have done it in the U.S. that are still doing it. So I kind of I want to be one of those players that pushes for the future of women's soccer.
I love that. I think you are probably such an inspiration. You're such an inspiration to us, but so many people who maybe they don't think they can do it because they don't play club soccer, because they don't have that. But I think that you show that if you take the risk and you put in the work, anything's possible. Like, it's such a, you have such an amazing story. So we really appreciate you sharing with us.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. I'm really happy I'm really happy you guys had me. And I remember growing up seeing your guys's Twitter and Instagram, and it's been cool. I mean, I was very excited to be here with you guys today. So thank you guys.
Of course. Maria, thank you so much for coming on. This was so great to just learn more about you, and you have such an incredible story. So thank you so much for sharing with us. And we know you're going to inspire so many of our listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate being on your guys's podcast. So thank you guys.
All right.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Soccer girls, you know we got some problems. So tune on in, away we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your king.